The third parak starts out with Mishnah Aleph, which gives us the topic sentence of the entire parak. And what we're going to see here is that there are certain times that the Torah gives a specific number, a specific amount that somebody has to be paid for something. For example, for an asset, or for they did something wrong, a penalty. And because it's a set amount, the result of that is if the actual value, for the example, the actual damage you'd have to pay is more or less than the set amount, we are being machmir or makel on that individual. In other words, what that means is if the actual value, for example, actual damages that the person caused was more than the set amount that the Torah requires, then we are being makel, we're being lenient on that person because he's able to pay less. On the other hand, if the actual damages that the person caused was less, but the Torah says you're not paying by actual damage, you're paying based on a set amount, for that person we are being machmir because you're having to pay more. So that concept applies in a number of areas, and we're going to have our sentence here that is going to tell us exactly when it applies, that we have a set amount in the Torah, and sometimes the result, the consequences, we're going to be machmir or makel on the payor. And in fact, we are going to spell it out just on a high level now, and the rest of the parak is going to go into detail on each of the items listed here. So Mishnah Aleph starts as follows. This concept applies, number one, when it comes to erechin. Yesh ba'erechin la'akel la'achmir. There are times when it comes to erechin that we are going to be lenient or strict on the person. We'll see what that means in the safe of our Mishnah. And number two, it applies b'stei achuza la'akel la'achmir. If somebody donates a stei achuza, which is a field that they received via inheritance, they donate it to the Beis HaMikdash, and thereafter would they want to redeem it. This is actually discussed in Mishnah Beis, because the Torah has a set amount they have to redeem it, but the actual value may be more or less than the set amount. Sometimes we're being machmir on the person, he's going to have to pay more than the actual value, and sometimes we're going to be lenient, he's going to be paying less than the actual value. Example number three, and this is covered in Mishnah Gimel, B'shor HaMu'ad. A shor HaMu'ad is a shor, an ox that has gored three times already, and thereafter, Shehemi Sasa Eved, and here it has killed somebody's slave. Sometimes it's going to be Lahakel, and sometimes Lahachmir, we'll cover that shortly. And fourth example, which is going to be the subject of Mishnah Dalet, and hey, it's actually three different examples. The onus umefatev, a man, Rachmana Litzlan, seduces or rapes a woman, or umotzi shemra, if somebody says about his own wife that she was not loyal to him, lahakel or lahachmir, because in all of those, the Torah has set amounts, so the actual damage or value may be higher or lower. Sometimes we're being makel, and sometimes we're being machmir, relative to the value that the person would have paid. Now we're going to get back to the first example, and that's erechin. Yesh be'erechin la'akel la'achmir ketzad. So give us an example. Spell it out. When, with erechin, if somebody says, I'm going to give the value of B, or I'm going to give my own value, erech, and that is dictated by the Torah, how much has to be paid, sometimes that is going to be a kula, sometimes that's going to be a chumra. And the example we're going to use is that when somebody gives the erech of a man who is 20 to 60 years old, the Torah tells us that you have to pay chamishim selah, 50 selah. So how about if the actual value on the slave market of that individual is going to be more or less than that set amount of 50 selah? So the Mishnah says as follows, echad she'erich et hanea shebi Yisrael, somebody gave the erech of a beautiful person who would have a high value on the slave market, the echad ha'kaor b'Yisrael, or somebody gave the erech of somebody who's very ugly. Either way, nosin chamishim sela, it's a set amount, you have to give the erech, it's going to be 50 sela. And here we'll explain what that means, lahakel or lahachmir. So if you had not been giving the erech, but the actual value of somebody who is very handsome, on the slave market, that person would be valued at a high amount. For example, 70 sela. So that's more than the chamishim sela that you have to give. And accordingly, because you have to give only 50 seller relative to the actual value of 70, that is a time where being makel, that's lahakel, the person is getting a big discount because the Torah had a set amount, 50 seller, instead of the higher value of that individual. However, if you have a ka'or b'Yisrael, somebody who's very ugly, would have a value lower than 50 seller because that person was not very valuable on the slave market, that is lahachmir, we're being machmir on that person, actual value would be less than 50 seller, and he has to pay the 50 sela, that is l'chumra. And then the Mishnah concludes and says, v'mamar harei damav alai. If instead of saying erech alai, I'm going to give the erech of bior, give my own value, but I'm going to give the actual value, that's damim, I'm going to give the actual value, then we don't even have a question. We don't have erech that he has to pay, the 50 sela. He actually has to give the actual value, because that was his commitment. V'mar harei damav alai, nosen eshav, you're going to give the actual value of that person. That person, we would envision how much we could estimate how much he would be sold on the slave market, and you'd have to give the actual value, because the neder is not an erech value, it's not an erech donation, but it's an dama valuation based on the actual value. Mishnah Beis is a follow-up of Mishnah Aleph. It's actually re-quoting the second phrase that we saw at the beginning of Mishnah Aleph, Esteh Achuza Lahakel Lahachmir. When somebody has Esteh Achuza, sometimes we are being lenient and sometimes we are being machmir. Kate said, what does that mean? So a little bit background. There are two categories of sadeh, of fields, of properties that can be donated to the Beis HaMikdash. The first is the Esteh Achuza, which is a field that somebody inherited and thereafter he donates to the Beis HaMikdash. Then the second type is a Esteh Mikne, which means a field that he purchased, not that he inherited. And we're talking here specifically about the Esteh Achuza. Somebody has this field, it's his, he donates it to the Beis HaMikdash. And if he wants to thereafterward redeem it, the Torah states that there's a set amount to redeem it. Accordingly, that set amount to redeem it may be more or less than the actual value. So the Mishnah says, so give an example, when are we going to be machmir on the person? When are we going to be lenient on the person? So it says as follows, Echad hamakdish becholas hamachoz. The same thing will apply if somebody donates cheap land. And there's a couple explanations of what cholas hamachoz is, but one is cholat is in the area around, hamachoz is a city. So if you have a strip of land around the city, that doesn't have a high value, people are trampling on it, you're not going to be able to grow a lot of stuff there. Same thing would apply if somebody donates very expensive land, like the orchards called Sebasti, that is an area that Herod built, and he had beautiful gardens there. But either way, whether you donate to the Beis HaMikdash and you want to redeem there afterward, expensive land or cheap land, you're going to have the same amount to redeem it from, because the Torah says how much you have to redeem it from based on the size of the land. And now we're going to explain that. It's going to sound fairly complicated. No sein bezera chomer seorim chamishim shekel kasef. So we'll just take the end to start with. For a certain amount of land, you have to redeem it for 50 shekel of kesef. What this is talking about, and we'll get more into this in the seventh parak, is if somebody consecrated, he donated the land and redeemed it in the first year of the Yovel cycle, because it's only for the Yovel cycle that it's donated. So if you do it at the beginning of the Yovel cycle, you have to pay the full amount of 50 shekel, silver cash shekel, for a certain size of land. How much land is that? So it's for each plot of land for which a chomer, that's why it says chomer, for which a chomer of barley seeds can be planted. And that's approximately 75,000 square amas. So for every plot of 75 square amas, the person would redeem it for 50 shekel kesef, silver coins, if it's for the entire, if it's donated and he's redeeming it at the beginning of the Yovel cycle. If it's not at the beginning of the Yovel cycle, it's going to be a pro rata amount. And then we have a distinction, well, just to clarify, so we have this lahakel ulahachmir again, because if that field is really worth more than this 50 shekel, he only has to redeem it for 50 shekel, we're being lenient on him, that's lahakel. However, if this land is worth less than the 50 shekel and he has to pay the 50 shekel, then we are being machmir on it. Now, this all applies to Esteh Achuza, but how about Esteh Mikna, Esteh Mikna, Nosen Eshavio? When it comes to that, you only give the actual value, you don't have to give the stated set fixed amount that the Torah says. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees on that point. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Echad Esteh Achuza, Echad Esteh Mikna. The same thing applies to Esteh Achuza if you inherited it or you purchased it. Either way, if you donated it to the Beis HaMikdash and you're redeeming it, it's for the set amount, it's not for the actual value. And then the Mishnah concludes, so what's the difference between a Steh Achuz and Steh Mikdeh? That's going to give one of them. There is another one in addition, but we'll just stick with what the Mishnah says. Ma ben Steh Achuz le Steh Mikdeh. So what's the difference between them if I have this field as an inheritance or if I purchased it? So there is a difference in the amount you have to pay to redeem it. Ela shebisteh achuza nosin chomesh, when you redeem a steh achuza, that field that I receive via inheritance, I have to redeem it not only for its actual value, but I have to add on a chomesh, a fifth. Now the fifth, I'll just give a numerical example, is if the value of the field is 100, that I have to redeem it. If the set amount is 100, I owe Beis HaMikdash 100 because I need to redeem it. To add a fifth means you have to pay 125. A fifth means a fifth after I've added on the fifth. So it's one-fifth, 25, that addition is a fifth of the added amount of the 125. It's a fourth of the 100, but it's a fifth of the 125. So that's when it comes to the Steh Achuza, you have to add on a chomesh. And when it comes to Steh Mikna, you don't have to add on that additional chomesh when you redeem that land from the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Gimel continues our explanation of the first sentence in the first Mishnah, where we said as follows. We have a quote: "Bishor hamuad shehemi sasaevid lahakel ulahachmir." So the shor hamuad, that is an ox that has gored previously three times, and now it kills the non-Jewish slave of somebody. That is going to act as a leniency and a chumrah. So the Mishnah asks, Ketzad. So let's spell this out. What does it mean? And as we've seen in the prior two Mishnayos, we're talking about when somebody causes a damage or has a valuation with a set fee that's mandated by the Torah, a statutory amount, stated amount in the psukim, even though the actual value or the actual damage may be higher or lower. So sometimes it acts as a chumrah, sometimes it acts as a kula for the person who is paying, because maybe you would have to pay less, maybe you would have to pay more if we did it based on actual value, but the Torah says we have a fixed amount. So here, let's spell it out. Echad Shehemi says Hana'a Sheba'avadim. So whether the shor killed a very handsome, high value slave, had we valued the slave on the slave market, it would have had a very high value. Echad Ka'or Sheba'avadim. Or if we have a very ugly slave, a very inexpensive slave, it doesn't matter. Nosin Shloshim Sela. The owner of that shor, the owner of that ox that killed that slave, is going to have to pay the owner of that slave a set 30 sela, even if the value of the slave was higher or the value of the slave was lower. And accordingly, this acts as a kula and a chumra, because if the value of the slave, it was a handsome slave, the value was higher, we are being lenient on the owner of the shor because he only has to pay the 30 sela, not the higher value. However, on the other hand, if it's an inexpensive, ugly slave, so the value would be less than the 30 sela, we are being machmir, he's not going to get away with paying that lower value, he's going to have to pay the set fee of shloshim sela. On the other hand, we're contrasting that to Hamis ben Chorin, if that shor killed a free person, it's not that it killed a slave, but somebody who was free. In that instance, the Torah doesn't dictate a specific set fee, but nosin et shavyo, he's going to have to pay the actual value. If we take that individual who is a free person, we would value him on the slave market, and he'll have to pay, the owner of that shor is going to have to pay the actual value, and it's not going to be paid to the person who was killed, he's killed, but it would be paid to the yorshim, those who inherit that person who was killed. And now the Mishnah concludes that we're talking all of that we discussed is if that shor hamuad kills somebody, kills a slave, kills the owner. On the other hand, chaval bazeh bazeh, if it wasn't that it killed it, but wounded it, whether it was wounding a slave or wounding a free person, mishalem nezek shalem, it's going to have to pay the full value of the nezek that was caused. How do we evaluate that? So what you would do is we would say this person that has been injured, how much was he worth on the slave market prior to the injury, and how much is he worth on the slave market after the injury, and the delta, the difference between that, the owner of that shor is going to have to pay the full amount of the value to the, if it's to a slave, he's going to pay that value to the owner of that slave, and if it's a free man, he's going to pay it directly to the person who was injured, that free individual. Mishnah Dalet continues our explaining the first sentence in the first Mishnah, those situations where the Torah has a set fee, and accordingly, there are times that it is a leniency and sometimes it is a stringency. And now we're talking about the situation of Be'ones u'mimavate lahakel u'lahachmir. So when it comes to Ones u'mimavate, also sometimes we're being lenient, sometimes we're being strict. So what is Ones and what is mimavate? So they are somewhat similar. It is when a man forces himself upon a girl. That is a situation of ones. Mifate is when he convinces her to cohabit with him. We are talking specifically about a girl who is a besula, who is a virgin. She is also the age of a nara, between 12 and 12 and a half years old. And the Torah tells us in situations of ones umifate that the man has to pay under certain circumstances a fee, a set fine of chamishim sela, same as chamishim shekel. The Torah's language is chamishim shekel. Here in the Mishnah, it's chamishim sela. It's the same amount. That is the set fee that has to be paid. The Mishnah asks, Ketzad, so what are the situation that we have the set fee? It's 50 shekel, but it's going to be sometimes lahakel and sometimes lahachmir. Sometimes you would have paid more, sometimes you would have paid less, but it was going to stick with the set fee that the Torah requires. So the Mishnah explains as follows: Echad she'anas upita es hagadol shebekuhuna. Whether the person did ones umefate of a daughter of the greatest, most distinguished family of the Kohanim, or vesaktana shebiyisrael, or whether he did ones umefate of the least distinguished family, a daughter of the least distinguished family in Klal Yisrael of all the Jews, either way, nosin chamishim sela, he has to pay the same amount. So when is it lahakel, when is it lahachmir? So if it was a situation of ones mefata, of a daughter of a very distinguished family, we would have thought that he'd have to pay significantly more than the 50 sela, but the Torah is being makel on him, being lenient. We have a set fee, you have to pay the 50 sela. On the other hand, situation of ones mefata of a daughter of the lowliest family, the value would have been less, but the Torah is telling us we're not doing this based on value. You have to pay the set fee of 50 sela. So that is a time of lahachmir. And now the Mishnah adds on that the knas, that set fee of 50 shekel, 50 sela, that's not the only thing that has to be paid in a situation of ones and mefater. There are also another two things that have to be paid. V'haboshet v'hapgam. Boshet literally means shame, the shame that he makes her incur, and the pgam, her decrease in value. And these are going to be variable amounts in contrast to the knas, the 50 sela, that is a fixed amount. Boshet and pgam are variable amounts, and the way the boshet is computed, says the Mishnah, hakol lefi hamevayesh v'hamitbayesh, it's all based on the person who causes the embarrassment, hamevayesh. So if it's a lowly person causing the embarrassments, here it'd be the ones mefata. If it's the man, he's a lowly person, then the busha of the other person, the embarrassment is going to be more. And also it's based not only the person causing the embarrassment, but the person being embarrassed, hamis bayesh, that is going to be variable as well. If it's a very dignified person, that dignified person is going to have more embarrassment. So that is the variability of the boshes and the variability of the pekam, the decrease in value. What we would do is we would say this individual, what would be the value of this girl if she was sold on the slave market before she was violated, so we'd be a virgin, and what is her value there afterward? And the value is going to be more before than afterward, and it's going to be the delta, the difference between those two, that is going to be the amount that has to be paid for the pagam, the decrease in value. Mishnah Hay is the last Mishnah in defining what we saw at the beginning of the first Mishnah of the Perek. B'motzi Shemra lahakel lahachmir ketza. When it comes to Motzi Shemra, sometimes it's going to be lenient, sometimes it's going to be strict. What's the situation of Motzi Shemra that we have a set fee? So here the situation is that if a husband, he hires witnesses to falsely testify against his wife that she was disloyal to him, she committed adultery, between their Erusin and the Nisuin, that at the time of Chazal, they would divide up between the Erusin, which is also called Kiddushin, the betrothal, and the Nisuin, and the Chuppah. And if he makes that false claim against his wife that she was not loyal to him, then, and it turns out that that was a false claim by him, he has to pay a penalty of 100 slaim. That's double the amount that we saw in the prior Mishnah when it came to Ones and Mefata, and that will be an important fact in the safe of our Mishnah. So the Mishnah here says as follows, what would be an example, that we have a set fee here, so when are we being lenient, when are we being strict? So very similar to what we saw in the prior Mishnah, Echad Shehotzi Shemra Al Gedola Shebekuna, so the same set fee would apply whether the person, that husband, is being Motzi Shemra, he's slandering his wife, who was a daughter of the greatest family of the kahuna, so that is lahakel, because he would have had to pay more, but the Torah is saying we're going to do it based on a set fee, or val haktana, val ktana should be Yisrael. Same fee is going to apply whether he is being motzi shemra, he's slandering his wife, who was a daughter of the least dignified family of Klal Yisrael. So here we're being machmir, because it would have been less, and he's having to pay the full 100 sela. So no se mea sela, regardless of the social status, whether from a dignified family or not dignified family, we have a set fee. Sometimes it's going to be lahakel, sometimes it's going to be lahachmir, but you have to pay the set fee when it comes to motzi shemra, and that amount is 100 sela. Now the Mishnah spells out what we alluded to before, nimtza haomer befiv, when somebody, it turns out that when somebody makes a claim, a verbal claim, it's a slander of his wife, that's the subject of this Mishnah. It wasn't an action that he did, but he makes a false claim against his wife that she was disloyal. He's going to have to pay double, more. Yes, sir. Mina osemaisa. That's going to be more, paying more than somebody who does an inappropriate act, a horrible act. That's referring back to Mishnah Dalid, Ones Umefate. So it's interesting to note, and the Mishnah is really bringing out that we see how these acts are terrible. Certainly the acts of Ones Mefate are a horrific thing in Mishnah Dalet, but slandering someone could be viewed as even worse, and that's the subject of Mishnah Hey. And now, Shechein Matzino, or there's so have the Girsa, Vechein Matzino, we see the same thing, or similarly, that when it comes to slander, how horrific it is. Shelo nechtam gzar din al avasein b'midbar, ela al lashon hara. So the gzar din of the Dor HaMidbar, they indeed tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu many times, as we'll see shortly, but the decision was made that they would have to have a punishment, stay 40 years in the Midbar, die off in the Midbar, and not warrant going into the Eretz Yisrael, not have the schutz of going into the Eretz Yisrael, was because of the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim. Shene'emar v'yanasu osi zeh. Eser pa'amim v'loshamanu bekoli, you have tested me 10 times, but it was only on this time that of the Meraglim, blasphemed Eretz Yisrael. It was then that the decision was made that all of that generation, the Dor HaMidbar, would die in the Midbar. So even though there were so many times that Klal Yisrael tested and challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it was only on the time that they were Motzi Shemra. It was the time that they slandered the land of Israel, and Klal Yisrael accepted that. It was the Meraglim, and Klal Yisrael accepted that slander. It was then, and only then, that the Gzar Din was made, that Klal Yisrael would be punished.